This holiday season, in our Sunday evening services, we are focusing our attention on the theme Christmas with the Classics. Each week, we're going to take a look at a classic Christmas song, and through it, maybe look at Christmas a little different perspective than we're used to. Of all of the Christmas songs that have been recorded down through the years, one stands alone as the most famous, the most popular of all time, and that is the song White Christmas. It was written in 1942 by Irving Berlin and featured in the movie Holiday Inn, starred Bing Crosby. Composition won an Academy Award for Best Original Song and was so popular that they produced another movie with Bing Crosby called White Christmas. So there's actually two movies that were made, both with Bing Crosby, that feature this song. Since its release, the song has been covered by many artists, but the version sung by Bing Crosby has become the world's best-selling single in terms of sales of physical media, with an estimated sales in excess of 50 million copies worldwide. When you figure in other versions of the song, sales have exceeded 100 million. So this is by far the most popular of the Christmas songs that are a part of our culture in our celebration of Christmas. I would like to take this idea of White Christmas and take a look at it from a biblical standpoint tonight. But we begin with the sentimental prospect of a white Christmas. Why is this idea so strong? Why do people want a white Christmas? I read this last week that when Bing Crosby went overseas and he would perform for the soldiers during World War II and probably even in Korea, he didn't want to sing White Christmas because he was afraid that it would make them homesick, and he wanted to cheer them up, not bring them down. But if he tried to not sing it, they demanded that he did. So eventually he would give in and sing the song. But why would that strike such a chord with these soldiers so far from home? And certainly there's some sentimental value to it. Even now people talk about having a white Christmas. What are the chances of having a white Christmas? Depending on where you live, you can actually go online and find maps that will tell you what the percentages are to have snow on the ground come Christmas morning. Have you ever stopped to think about how many songs that we sing during the holiday season directly or indirectly celebrate snow? You've got the song, Let It Snow, Let It Snow, Let It Snow. Sleigh Ride, Jingle Bells, they're all talking about snow-covered ground and how wonderful that is. But let's be honest, how many of us really like the white stuff anymore? You know? Personally, I'd love to have snow the week of Christmas and have it gone by New Year's, right? Then spring can start, yeah. That's why a lot of folks go south for the winter to get away from it. But I think a lot of it harkens back to our childhood. Snow holds a fascination for children. There's all kinds of activities you can do in the snow, making snowmen or snow forts. You have snowball fights, snow angels, sled riding. And I know when I was young, my favorite thing to do in the snow was go play football because you had to wear so much clothing. It was like having padding, and then when you got tackled, it didn't hurt so bad. And then there was also the prospect of snow canceling school, and every kid looks forward to that. So that might be one reason why we have this sentiment for a white Christmas. Seeing snow-covered trees and lawns, preferably from inside the older we get, I think it might remind us of our youth. Maybe it reminds us of those innocent days of wonder and fun. But the older I get, the more I hear adults saying that, you know, the idea of a white Christmas is okay as long as it doesn't stick around too long. So let's turn our attention to the original Christmas story. What would be the scriptural probability of a white Christmas? Is it even possible that the first Christmas would have had snow? Most of us would say, well, of course not, because of where it was. You know, that climate just doesn't have snow, does it? Well, it did, actually. Not as much as you would in central Illinois, certainly. But there are mentions of snow in the Bible. As I mentioned, modern meteorological science has studied the probabilities of having snow on December 25th in various parts of the world. And what's interesting, we would tend to think that the probability would be greater the farther north you go. But in both Europe and in the United States, the probability of a white Christmas actually depends more on how close you are to a large body of water, like an ocean. And that might have more to do with whether you're going to have a white Christmas or not. Most of Canada has a probability of snow on Christmas higher than 50%. There are some places in Canada that it's up to 80% probability of having a white Christmas. And yet in Vancouver, British Columbia, you've only got an 11% chance of a white Christmas because they're so close to the ocean. It keeps the temperatures warmer and you're more likely to have rain than you would snow. In the United States, Fairbanks, Alaska has a 100% probability. I'd say that's a certainty. Anchorage has 90% chance of snow on December 25th. This is why we're going to Alaska in June. And yet, Annette, Alaska, which is in the Aleutian Islands, has only a 17% chance of a white Christmas. They're still in Alaska, but because they're out in the middle of the ocean, they have a much less probability of having snow. In the continental United States, the greatest chance of a snowy Christmas is in Concord, New Hampshire. 87% chance that they're going to have at least an inch of snow on Christmas morning. While Phoenix and Los Angeles virtually have no chance, despite those holiday movies on Hallmark Network. You ever notice that? A lot of those movies take place in Los Angeles, and they still have snow at the end of the movie, right? In reality, they have virtually no chance. A little closer to home, Chicago has a 40% chance of snow on Christmas, Indianapolis 30%, St. Louis 23%, and central Illinois, it's somewhere between 1% and 99%. You know how that goes. Now, they say between 28 and 40% probability for white Christmas. But what about that first Christmas? What about the birth of Jesus? Could it have been a white Christmas? Snow was not unheard of in that part of the world in ancient times. It was not uncommon in Jerusalem. Jerusalem sits in a high elevation. And often in the mountains there in Israel, they would have snow. And that's why snow is mentioned occasionally in the scripture. Now, it usually doesn't reach the depth like Buffalo had to deal with a week or two ago, thankfully. A lot of times in the lower levels of Israel, they might get snow, they might have it fall, but not enough that it accumulates. The only scripture that records an instance of snow falling is in 2 Samuel 23:20. It talks about Benaniah, son of Jehoiada, was a valiant fighter from Kabzeel who performed great exploits. He struck down two of Moab's best men. He also went down into a pit on a snowy day and killed a lion. So having snow in that part of the world is not unheard of. It is something that they could relate to in the scriptures. But for the most part, for the residents in Israel, snow was seen at a distance. It was usually on top of the mountains, maybe the mountains of Lebanon or some of the other mountains there in Israel. Mount Hermon, which was the tallest of the mountains there, 9,200 feet above sea level, had long streaks of snow, even in the valleys of summer. And I think most of us would agree, that's when you can really appreciate snow from a distance. So it would seem unlikely, though not impossible, that the first Christmas would have been a white Christmas. And if you think about it, imagining Mary and Joseph being out in a cave, an animal stall, they were probably glad that it wasn't a white Christmas. They would not have wanted the temperatures to be quite that frigid. Added to that, we're not even sure that December 25th is the correct date for Christ's birth. We really don't know. And I don't want to get into all of the ins and outs about that. A couple years ago, I published a book on how Christian is our Christmas, and I get one whole chapter deals with the date of Christmas. Could it have been December 25th? Yes, it could have. And there are some pretty compelling evidence that it may have been, if not on that date, certainly that time of year, but we don't know for sure. And so we honestly don't know with certainty when Christ was born. There's a very popular thought going around that it could not have been in the winter time because shepherds had their flocks out by night, which of course you wouldn't do in the winter. But we've discovered that that's not the case. In the rural districts of Palestine, particularly around Jerusalem, where flocks were needed constantly for animal sacrifice at the temple, the shepherds did have their flocks out year-round. And so if you hear that as saying, well, it couldn't have been in December because the flocks were out in the fields, that's actually not a strong argument against it. But the answer to the question of the scriptural probability of a white Christmas is not very high. We don't know for sure, but you know, the chances are much less that it would have happened there than it would have here or other parts of the world. But I don't want this sermon to be a complete waste of time. And even though snow didn't fall very often in the biblical world, the imagery of snow was powerful enough that you see it on several occasions. And it's this scriptural possibility of a white Christmas that I want to... that I want to focus our attention as we wrap up this message. For people living in climates where snow falls abundantly every winter, snow is very commonplace, and probably for some not all that appreciated. The opposite is true for the writers of the Bible, where snow assumes a quality of something rare, something exotic, something noteworthy, and even something resplendent. You know, the fact that snow was rare made it a very strong simile in the Bible. And where the Bible uses it, it does so for good reason. The most common use of the image of snow in Scripture denotes the color of snow, white as snow. That appears a half dozen times in the Bible. And the color white usually symbolizes purity. You know, that's even true in our own day and age. Babies are often dedicated in a white outfit, denoting purity. Bridal gowns are traditionally white. That's even found in the Scripture. In Revelation 19:8, it says that the bride of Christ is dressed in linen white, which symbolizes the purity of the bride of Christ. Snow, because of its whiteness, is used in the Bible as a symbol of purity and cleanness. Three times Jesus' appearance as likened unto snow in Daniel 7:9, Mark 9:3, and Revelation 1:14. And we even see in the Easter account in Matthew 28:3 that an angel is described as being white, even white as snow. And what this all speaks to is absolute purity and holiness, being completely above evil. And so that purity Being white as snow is a characteristic of God himself. But I'd like to turn to a couple of passages that uses the image of snow that's a little more personal for me and you. The first is in the book of Psalms, Psalm 51. Psalm 51. Some of you will recognize that passage right away as David's prayer of repentance after the whole Bathsheba scandal had been uncovered. Psalm 51. In verse 7, David writes, "Cleanse me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow." David would have been familiar with snow there in Jerusalem and in the surrounding areas, and this is his prayer, "Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow." Now, think about the context here. Think about what David had done leading up to the writing of this psalm. Adultery, murder, dishonesty. And he is begging God for forgiveness. He acknowledges his sin. He's asking to be cleansed from them. Sin stains us and stands as a stark contrast to God's holiness. So this idea to be whiter than snow means to be completely clean so that we can be in God's presence. David acknowledges that he has sinned. He has sinned horribly. And only God's forgiveness would be sufficient to wash away those sins. Another passage is found in Isaiah. Just over a few books, Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. These are the words of the Lord as spoken through the prophet Isaiah. "Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they will be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they will be like wool." We often associate the color black with sin, maybe as contrast to the white of purity and holiness. Here they use red, scarlet, and crimson as the comparison for sin. And the reason for that is pointed out, it was more permanent color. When something was stained crimson or scarlet, there wasn't any getting rid of that stain. That was a permanent stain. White, as we've seen, is an emblem of innocence. And so sins would be thought of as the opposite. But instead of saying black, it says red, because that was a color-fast stain that you could not get rid of. It was used to represent the permanency of sin in the heart. No human means can wash away the stain of sin. Just like no human means could wash away a crimson stain on clothing or material back then. But God says, if you come to me, though your sins be like scarlet, they will be white as snow. Have you ever gone outside after a snowfall and noticed how dazzling white that snow is? It just takes on such a pristine color. It is so pure. And that is what God promises to those who come to Him. His grace and mercy can wash those sins away. And when that happens, there is no trace of the sin that is left. One thing about snow, when it sticks around a while, it can get kind of dirty. You know, exhaust and dust and dirt and stuff, it can take that shine. But off that fresh, new fallen snow, there isn't anything so pure and so dazzling white as that. And I think one of the great ironies of all is the agent that is used to wash us white as snow, though our sins be as red as crimson, is the blood of Jesus. And those of you that have ever dealt with blood stains in a material, that can be one of the hardest stains to get out. I have a sweatshirt that over 30 years ago got blood stains on it. They're still there, even though it's been washed several times. I mean, that's one of those things. But in the spiritual realm, we're told that the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. It can make us, spiritually speaking, as white as snow. So the point of my message tonight is not just to wish a white Christmas this year, or wonder if the first Christmas was white. The good news, not only this evening, but of this whole season, is the spiritual possibility of a white Christmas. No matter where you live, no matter what the climate is and what the probability of snow on Christmas morning is, you can experience a white Christmas inside of you. And the probability of that is 100% if you go to the source. I wish I could claim this connection was my idea, but it wasn't. Many years ago, a recording artist named Twyla Paris recorded a Christmas album that was called It's the Thought. And one of the songs is a medley. She actually sang White Christmas, but then it blended into Whiter Than Snow. And I would challenge you, if you have not experienced this, make this your prayer this evening. Lord Jesus, I long to be perfectly whole. I want Thee forever to live in my soul. Break down every idol, cast out every foe. Now wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. And so with that in mind, I conclude with the end of that classic song, May All Your Christmases Be White. Would you bow with me as we close in prayer? Father, we're even thankful for those secular aspects of our Christmas celebration that remind us of scriptural truth. And to know that whether we long for a white Christmas, whether we will experience a white Christmas, whether the first Christmas had snow or not, we can all spiritually have not only a white Christmas, but have our sins be forgiven, so that not just one day a year, but all of our existence, we can be whiter than snow. And we also acknowledge that that's only possible because You sent Your Son on that first Christmas, who was born in a stable, laid in a manger, grew up to be a man, to lay down His life as the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. We thank You for the blood of Jesus that washes us whiter than snow. And may that be a reality for all of us this holiday season and throughout our lives. It's in His name that we pray. Amen.